Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel Network Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. Wisdom is understanding God's Word. Pastor Murray's unique teaching approach brings God's Word alive with meaning as he takes you on a chapter-by-chapter, verse-by-verse study of God's letter to you, the Bible. And now here is Pastor Arnold Murray.
Good day to you. God bless you. Say welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this Family Bible Study Hour. Well, look at it. We're going to do the book of the King of Babylon. That's Nebuchadnezzar number 2. And I jest, of course, but I hope none of you were turning there right quick like. But anyway, we have in the book of Jeremiah discussed the King of Babylon at length. I just thought it might be kind of nice if we took one day and just went to the New Testament, because Christ has foretold us all things if you know where to dig it out of. Therefore, let's find out who he is for sure and document it. Let's find out where he's going to appear at, and then you shouldn't be deceived, right? And let's add to that the chronological order in which he appears. And that'll make it real easy for you, all right, and exciting. We're going to start in the teachings of Paul, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You're all familiar with it. But nobody can teach any better than Paul with God speaking through him. Paul came, many think, after the fact, but Peter himself even said all the wisdom of Paul, that even the learned wrestle with some of the mysteries that Paul explains from God's Word. That'd be 2 Peter chapter 3, whereby he would stipulate that. So let's, with that thought in mind, and let's reap from our Father's Word, let's harvest those truths and settle them in your mind, whereby in this generation in which he shall appear, the generation of the fig tree, then you will not be deceived. Let's go with 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1, and it reads, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him." Now, what did that say? It says a lot. It said, I want to talk to you. That's what beseech means. I want to talk to you about Jesus Christ returning to this earth. That's the Advent. And our being Christians, that's who he's addressing, gathering back to him. Right? How does that happen? We got all kinds of stories. We got rapture doctrines and you name it, on and on it goes. But wouldn't you kind of like to take Paul's word for it? Because he simply teaches what Christ taught himself, as we'll document. So the subject is Jesus Christ returning and our gathering back to Jesus Christ. Got it? Verse 2. "That you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us." Don't let that first letter to the Thessalonians deceive you, or fool you, or trick you. "As that the day of Christ is at hand." In other words, don't let any person, you're going to let some preacher do it? You're going to let some preacher come along and tell you, you don't have to worry about this. You're going to fly away. Let's see what Paul says about it, okay? I mean, you either follow man's traditions or you follow God's word. That's up to you. Verse 3, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not," that's an absolute, "shall not come, except there come a falling away first." That word in the Greek is apostasy. Okay? In other words, there's no way Christ is returning to this earth until after the apostasy. "And that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." Now, who then, what is perdition? Well, it's Apollyon. Do you know what Satan's name is? It's Apollyon. How many sons has, what does Apollyon mean? It means to destroy or to perish. The son of perdition, the word perdition means his soul is destroyed. He's already judged by Almighty God. Now, how many people does that shoe fit? There's only one. So you can't play guesswork with it. What he has said here is there is no way Christ is going to return to this earth before Satan, the son that has already been sentenced to death, Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 18 and 19, that's where he became the son of perdition. There is no other, so there's no A, B, C, and guess the one the closest. There's just one, and that is Satan himself. He brings to pass the apostasy, thus he is the king of Babylon. Okay? Well, what does the word apostasy mean? It means for one to give up their professed belief. Usually, why? People don't give up their professed belief just like that. They think he's Christ. They give up their professed belief in ignorance because they think it's Jesus come to rapture them away. And Paul is saying, you can forget it. Don't let any man or any letter or anything else deceive you. It's not going to happen that you're going anywhere until after the son of perdition is revealed. Now, where is he going to appear at? Let's gather in the information. Verse 4. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now where's that? Where's the temple of God? It's Mount Zion. There's no ifs, ands, or maybes. There's no grabs. There's no guesswork. He's going to appear on this earth before Christ returns, or before anybody flips away by traditions of men, claiming to be God, claiming to be Christ, claiming to be Yeshua, man's Savior. And the whole world's going to whore after him, thinking it is Jesus' return to rapture him away, if you are ignorant of God's Word. So thus it becomes very important that you know and understand the chronological order of events in the simplicity that God's Word teaches them. Now, you know, a child can understand this this order. You know, it's made very simple. What has Paul said? Let's take a little recap up to this point, lest you might have a little problem. He said, I want to talk to you about our gathering back to Jesus Christ. That's to say, all Christians. That's who this letter is to, is Christians. Don't let my first letter deceive you, or any man, or any dream, or any vision. It is not going to happen until after the son of perdition appears in Jerusalem, claiming to be Jesus, claiming to be God, Emmanuel, God with us. You got that? That's pretty simple. All right? Now, verse 5. What does he say here? Remember ye not that when I was with you, I told you these things. When we were around at night, we went into detail about these things. 6. And now you know, absolute, now you know what withholdeth that he may be revealed in his time. Verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity, that's the lewdness, doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Now, it's real easy here for some sharpie to try to get into your mind if you allow him. But remember how to read. What is the verb here? You gotta get the verb. That's where the action is. What is this verb? Let. Well, inasmuch as the he is mentioned, it becomes a transitive verb, meaning the article, the subject, must transfer back to what was being discussed to determine who the he is. I want to say that again because it's so simple a child can understand. You know what a transitive verb is, right? In other words, the power of the action transfers back to the one that's the subject. You with companion Bibles, this is all growing out for you. You're very fortunate. Now, let's just think that, well, we were talking about the Antichrist, we were talking about Satan, we're talking basically about the son of perdition. Well, who's holding him? Well, if we were to turn to Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, we find out Michael is. And what's Michael going to do with him? Michael's going to boot him out of heaven. He's going to let him, all right. And he's being helped for that day. And then it would say in Revelation chapter 12, woe to those on earth. And if we have time, we may go there. But anyway, we're not playing guessing games here. Paul is being very discreet, very helpful in leaving nothing out. Verse 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, that's the sword of the Lord, the word, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. That his coming is the subject when we gather back to Christ. Verse 1. But all these things must transpire before Christ with his two-edged sword appears and with the brightness of his coming destroys this false one, the false Messiah. Satan's role is Antichrist, false prophet, whatever you want to call it. There's only one. He has many names, 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. Oh, he's full of it. Revelation 13 goes as far as saying he can snap his fingers and lightning comes from heaven in the sight of men. People will go nuts over him, especially those that are biblically illiterate and those that have not studied God's Word, those that have listened to some yo-yo fluffball say that you don't have to study God's Word, you're going to fly away, will be right in the center of Satan's bed, enjoying it. Not a very pretty picture, is it? Then study your Father's Word and listen to it, and not this man or any other man, or you're going to be in bad shape. He comes after Satan because it is Satan in the role of false Messiah. Verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, they would rather listen to some fluff ball, that they might be saved. You're going to listen to the word or man? That's up to you. Verse 11. And for this cause God, who? Did it say Satan? No, God shall send them strong delusion that they shall believe a lie. Like flitting off into the atmosphere. God warned in Ezekiel chapter 13, I'm against those that teach my people to fly to save their souls. He's going to send that lie. He knew way back then he would have to send it, and a lot of people are buying it. So, well, have a good trip. Verse 12. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Do you want to listen to man? Or do you want to listen to God's Word? I don't know. That's up to you. This is what the book of Jeremiah was about. Warning you, giving you a type, like for little children, showing you exactly how the king of Babylon came and what he did. Verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. That's why I love you so much. You enjoy studying God's Word, the truth. But most of all, God loves you for it. Because there's not all that many that want to study God's Word chapter by chapter and verse by verse. To listen to what God has to say, they would rather listen to some orator tickling their gizzards, all right, with any moment doctrine and stuff like that that is contrary to the Word of God. What about this first letter Paul wrote? How could that possibly have deceived anyone? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. This is where many people get this flyaway doctrine, but can you read I hope so, and I'm not talking down to you, and I'm not trying to make you angry. I'm saying, can you read with understanding? Do you have to have some man, some preacher, read it for you and tell you what it means? I don't think so. You have the ability and the tools to know how to read for yourself. Now, let's pick up the subject in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, verse 13. Paul is a very simple, straightforward teacher. Let's listen to him. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Now, what did he say there? Paul is being very direct. He says, I don't want you to be ignorant about where those are that are dead, as the heathen are out here. They don't know any better. I want you to know better. Don't want you to be ignorant about it. So he's going to teach us. So let me ask you a question. What's the subject? The subject is, where are the dead? This is why Paul didn't want this letter to throw them. Where are those that are asleep? Verse 14, let's see if he tells us. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and you'd better, or you're not a Christian, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. Why? Because they're already with him. If you believe Jesus rose from the dead, the tomb, and you'd better, or you're not a Christian, then you better know that everyone that is with him, as Jesus himself would reiterate in Luke chapter 16 concerning the rich man and Lazarus, the parable of two real people, they're all there. Some of them made it, some of them didn't. But they are all there with God for judgment. Okay? Now, that's the subject. What did he say? He said, don't want you to be ignorant about where the dead are. They're not out here in some hole in the ground. They're with the Lord. They're with Jesus, all right? Verse, and the overcomers will he bring back with him, an army. 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. By what word? Not man's word. By the word of the Lord. Where is that word? Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7. You've read it. That's where God says where they are, without any shame. Point blank. To be absent from this body is present with the Lord, Paul would say in a different place. But what does Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 7 stipulate? When the silver cord parts and this old clay pot breaks, meaning we die, it goes, the clay pot, we're through with it, finished, it goes back to dust. But we instantly, the spirit, the intellect of the soul, meaning the soul goes to the Father, returns to the Father that gave it by the Word of God. There's no great mystery in it. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, that's he was pointing to Christ's return, we that are alive at that time shall not prevent them which are asleep. Now can you follow that? How we cannot precede them in the Greek is what it really says. Well, let me think a minute. We that are alive cannot precede them. Why? Duh. They're already there. You can't outrun or beat somebody that's already with him. They preceded you. Paul doesn't want you to be ignorant about that. Okay? Now, what has the subject been so far here? He doesn't want you to be ignorant about where the dead are. Verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven, this is our gathering back to him, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump, that's the last trump, the seventh. That's when the Lord returns, documented time and again in the book of Revelation. The trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, meaning colon, they're already with him. Put that in your bonnet and keep it there. That's what he's saying. There's no way we can precede them. We're already there, and when the trump sounds, who's going to be with God? Those that are dead in the flesh. He brings them with him. Now that's pretty simple reading right there. I realize translations, cloud issues at times, but a child can understand that, and I'm not talking down to you, that's the truth. 17. Then at the seventh trump, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together. This is what they call the so-called rapture doctrine, okay? We which remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And that's true. What is this word air? It's not atmosphere. In the Greek, it's the breath of life. Greek dictionary number 109, Strong's Concordance. Breath of life. It's the breath you breathe. Spiritual body, in other words. Okay? You're instantly, Paul would teach the same thing in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, where instantly, in a twinkle of an eye, you change into a spiritual body. Your ruach, wind, breath body. Okay, you got it? Paul uses the word clouds. Well, let me just show you. Hebrews chapter 12. Wherefore seeing, Hebrews chapter 12, don't turn there, keep your place there where you are. I'm just going to read this to you. Wherefore seeing, we also are compassed about with so great a cloud. What's this? A cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Talking about a marathon. They're going to gather in a cloud and run a marathon. Meaning a cloud of witnesses. Meaning, have you ever heard of, Paul spoke colloquial Greek, all right? His language was Hebrew. But he learned street Greek, I'll call it that, colloquial Greek, however you want to say. His education was not in Greek. So he spoke whatever, this is why he would say, let's gather in a large cloud. Like in English today, you'll say, did you see that cloud of locusts? Did you see that cloud of blackbirds? It's a figure of speech, all right? So there you have it. Understand God's word, the subject. The subject is, where are the dead? Christ will, they are with God, and he shall bring them with him, and we will meet those of our loved ones that have already passed away at that time. Verse 18, to complete this particular place. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. And it is a comfort to know where the dead are, and how that we will gather at that seventh trump. Not until. You see, friend, Antichrist comes at the sixth trump. The sixth seal and the sixth vial. That's 666. Can you get that? I would not have you be ignorant about that. Christ doesn't come until the seventh. He's not going to pull anybody out, and nobody's going anywhere. Our gathering. Don't let any man deceive you about our gathering back to Christ. It's not going to happen until the last trump. But the false Messiah shall stand in Jerusalem claiming to be God at the sixth trump. And you have a duty to do then. That's why we covered Jeremiah, so that you could understand what duty is. Well, you'll find it way over. Let's go to the teachings of Christ in the great book of Mark. You're all familiar with it if you studied with me probably just a day or two. Of where you're delivered up before the synagogue of Satan, which is to say the Antichrist in Jerusalem. And that you're not to premeditate what you'll say beforehand. But you will allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you. Now, you will have a few people on this earth that think they're smarter than the Holy Spirit. You do that, and I'll show you a dummy, a real dummy. Now, listen to God's word concerning the appearance of the false Messiah, the King of Babylon. Jesus goes on, and he tells how some will be delivered up. Why? So that the real truth can go forward to the world. That's his motive. And so that all will have an opportunity to hear. But did Jesus teach that the false Christ would come first in the chronological order of events? You're in those chronological order of events here, because in this 13th chapter, he gives you seven things that are the seven seals, that are the seven trumps, that are the seven vials, so that you can't confuse them or mix them up. I only want to touch on the subject that Christ himself taught, that the false Christ, Antichrist, spurious Messiah, King of Babylon, would come first. Now, Jesus would start this off by saying, there's going to be a lot of people come in Christ's name. You got a lot of preachers that claim to be Christian preachers. But are they preaching God's Word? Are those people shedding witness to God's Word or their own? It shouldn't take, who do you want to follow, man or God? It's up to you. Personally, after I teach it, that's your problem. You do whatever you want to do and feel good in it, because my job is done. Did Christ teach then that the false Christ would come first? After having said that, he said, woe to those that are with child when I return. Meaning, he's coming to receive a virgin bride. See that you haven't already been seduced by the false Christ spiritually. Go to the 21st verse and let's ask the question, did Jesus teach that the false Christ would come first? Or that he would even come? Sermon on the Mount, Christ teachings, let's go with it. Verse 21, Mark 13, and it reads, and then if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. 22, for false Christ and false prophet shall rise, and shall show signs and wonders to seduce, I repeat, to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Oh, we got some people that think they're sharpies, and if they're not careful, they're going to get sucked in to the afterburner when he kicks it in. He's good. He's sharp. He performs miracles that we don't even know all of them yet. They're not written. But you better know God's Word well enough to know the fake comes first. Jesus said, they will say, he's here, he's there. Don't believe it. Don't go. It's not the personage of the true Christ. Well, let's find out when that fit. Verse 23, if you ever listen to God's Word, listen here. But take ye heed, you be real careful, behold, or look here, I, being Christ, have foretold you all things. Have you read it? Christ has foretold you all things, exactly how they will transpire chronologically, and how the events will transpire that consummate the end of this age. The question is, have you read it with understanding? I'm not talking about some man giving you a big story. I'm talking about Christ has told you through the Word, witnessed by the Holy Spirit, telling you when the Holy Spirit will touch you to speak. And if you refuse that, you have committed the unpardonable sin. It's pretty heavy stuff. There, thank God for one thing, only those that have the knowledge can commit it. Others are too ignorant. Biblically illiterate, more correctly said. Behold, I have foretold you all things. Again, have you read it? That's the question. 24. But in those days, now what days is that? When the Antichrist is here, in those days, after that tribulation, after the Antichrist comes, that's what the tribulation is. The first tribulation is the tribulation of Antichrist, not the tribulation of God. After that tribulation, the sun shall be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, 25, and the stars of heaven shall fall, that's Satan's little helpers, and the powers that are in heaven shall be shaken up real good, 26, and then, and not until then, shall they see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. Can you understand that? He says, I've foretold you all things. The false Christ is coming first. After that, then you will see me coming in glory, and his brightness shall destroy the false one. 27, and then shall he ascend Then shall he send his angels and shall gather together his elect. This is when we gather back to Christ. Not before, but after the tribulation of Antichrist. Why? Because Christians are supposed to do their duty at that time and perform the duty set forth in the Word that is the purpose of them. Are you going to let God down? Are you a real true Christian? Or do you just play church? Then, and shall gather together the elect from the four winds, that's the four spirits that consummate the end mentioned in Revelation 7 and Daniel chapter 7, the Ruach, Kadesh, Ruach, from the uttermost part of the earth to the uttermost part of heaven. Hey, it's over at that time, and then it goes into the parable of the fig tree. So, what did we learn there? Christ is good to us. He foretells us all things, so we shouldn't be deceived. We certainly should be sharper than to let some man mislead us about butterfly stories, because he has given us the chronological order of events. Behold, I have foretold you all things. I guess the question is, have you listened? Or have you read it with understanding? Or did you just hear some pop-off talking about it? Don't need the Holy Word. Well, then have a good trip to hell, friend. That's where you're going. I can guarantee it. The Word is Christ's Word. That is the sword that defeats Satan, and there is no other that will do it. That's biblical. He foretold us all things, and you'll either absorb that knowledge or you're going to have a good trip, all right, and hey, it's all right with me. You do whatever you feel led to do. Now, speaking of the king of Babylon, let's see his grand appearance in the great book of Revelation. I want to go to... Let's see where we want to go here. We're going to take a few more minutes here. And turn with me to the book of Revelation. Let's have the first scripture there. Revelation chapter 12, verse 7. How does the false Messiah get to this earth? Well, Jesus said, I foretold you all things. He spoke through John, telling us. Took John to that day. That's why it is stipulated in chapter 1, verse 10 of the book of Revelation, I took John to the Lord's day. Wasn't a Sabbath, friend. It was the Lord's day, the millennium, so he could see what happens at this time. Behold, I have foretold you all things. This was the Word, chapter 12, verse 7, and it reads, and there was war in heaven. The one we were reading about. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought in his angels, 8, and prevailed not, naturally. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. 9. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Who was that dragon? That old serpent called the devil and Satan. It's just names he goes by. You've been foretold about them. Same person. Many roles to play. Which deceiveth the whole world. Most of it, he certainly will. Because they're not geared for it. They're not up to speed. They're ignorant of God's Word, biblically illiterate, most of the world, unfortunately. Hey, go talk to one of them. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Hello, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4. Okay? That's when Satan stands in Jerusalem claiming to be God. Got it? Child can understand it. That's simple. Verse, you know, you do know that the word revelation means to reveal or to uncover where a child can understand, don't you? Okay. 10. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser, that Satan's role is to accuse you. God, look down and see what that one did. Did you hear what they said? They said they didn't need you. They're all on their own, real spiritual. Whee! Accuser, and he will do it. of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, just like he did Job, okay? 11. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. How do you overcome him? By man's word? I don't think so. By some individual's word? I don't think so. They overcame him one way only, the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. That was primary. Who is death? Satan is. That's his name. Have you ever read the Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14? Jesus said, I came to this earth to destroy death, which is to say the devil. Okay? He leads people to death. He is death. 12. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of where? Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down into you, having great wrath, because he knoweth. He knows what? Because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. How long? Behold, I have foretold you how all things Christ has. How long? He's told you. 5 months. Revelation chapter 9. As a polyon. A palier as well. The destroyer. I'm pulling that back to the son of perdition. Same thing. 13. And when the dragon saw that he was cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. The man was Christ, the woman is Christianity. 14. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and to her place, where she is nourished for a time and a times and a half time. That was the 3.5 years originally set forth from the face of the serpent. And the serpent, the seducer of woman in the garden, serpent, title, name, he tries it again. Then the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood, a flood of lies, like flyaway doctrines and stuff like that, create a whole church on falsehoods. I'm not saying this to offend anyone. I'm saying this because I care about your soul. And many souls are about to be lost because of traditions of men that make void the Word of God. I don't know, how are you fixed for blades, friend? How full is your tank on wisdom? All wisdom comes from God's Word, not man's. 16. And the earth helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Christ gave us power over all of our enemies, including the dragon. And that's how on the earth, in an earth body, we can overcome him. The earth will open and we can defeat him. That's why God has elect, because they are loaded and locked and their tank is full and they're ready with what? Not the knowledge of some idiot, but the knowledge of God. As it is written. When Jesus was asked a question, what was his answer most of the time? Jesus, how about this? It is written. Haven't you read it? 17. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. He doesn't like you if you have the truth, friend. Which keep, this is the qualifications, which keep the commandments of God. Not man, not drifters, not idiots, not spiritualists, but the commandments of God, and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Behold, I have foretold you all things. Have you read them? That's his message to you, and that's my message to you. And that's who the king of Babylon is. He is coming. But you don't have to worry about him. If you do the commandments of God by understanding the 4 warnings that he has given you rather than listening to traditions of men. It's up to you. And you pay attention to God's word. or you're a lost soul indeed. You are indeed. The king of Babylon shall come. Who is he? We covered it in God's word, the son of perdition. When will he appear? At the sixth trump. The fifth trump leads you into the season of which that shall be. Where will he appear? Jerusalem. What will he be doing there? Playing little Jesus, Savior, peacefully and prosperously. He's going to offer to pay all your bills. You going to let him? He will. And his name is Death. You want to die? Well, go to him. Or fulfill that is written in Mark 13, where behold, he has foretold you all things and stand by to witness. That is to say, allowing this him to witness through you, so that that testimony that is written can go forth. All right, have a good day. Love you a bunch. Love the word a bunch more, because it is sound, it is solid, it is truth. It will always see you through. It will cause people to just love you so much they can't hardly stand it. Why? Because you've got the truth. All right, bless your heart. You listen a moment, won't you please? Free introductory package. Hey, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast. All right, there we are back again. The 800 number, please, 1-800-643-4645. That number is good from Puerto Rico, throughout the U.S., Alaska, Hawaii, all over Canada, if the Spirit moves. And if you have a question, you share it. Won't you do that? Our Father's Word is so precious, so beautiful, that let your question be concerning the Word. Please do not ask a question about an individual denomination or an organization. Don't like to call names. And not on television anyway, the net we're going to start. And that is to say, naming people. But on television, let's just let God's word flow and let it just reap it as that. Those of you that do listen by shortwave, your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. Always a pleasure hearing from you around the world. What a joy. Now, you got a prayer request? Let's do away with the number. Let's do away with the address. He's your Father. He created you because he's the only one like you he's got. Okay? Even in the flesh, you have different fingerprints than anyone else. Your soul, in your mind, spirit being, is different than any other child. That's why he created you just like you are. Okay? Now, he didn't create you to do some of the things you do any more than myself, some of the things I do when we mess up and fall short. But repent, let him know you love him, and make sure that you share that with him. Talk to him. Father, around the globe we come. We ask that you lead, guide, direct, Father, touch, and heal. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Father. Okay, let's get right into some questions. We're going to speed right into this. And we've got Bobby Joe from Michigan. Could you tell me what by his stripes means where it is written, and also does God intentionally not heal for a reason, or do you think it's just maybe not the time yet? And it seems that diabetes is the situation here. Well, you know, by his stripes ye are healed. Okay, that means that Jesus took quite a beating, a crucifixion. so that our spiritual bodies could be totally healed, and many times even our flesh bodies. But it's very important. Many times God will heal a person. I'm not saying this is your case. I don't give medical advice, okay? But many times God will heal a person, but they keep eating against God's health laws. And it's not going to take, okay? But the main thing is that God heals your spirit, your soul, that you have eternal life. That's what's most important. That's why when Jesus was at a place, he said, "Son, your sins are forgiven." He healed his soul first. And it made some scribes very unhappy that were close by. And then he told him, he said, "Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to take up your bed and walk?" And then he said, "Take up your bed and walk." And the man did. Okay? Help God's way is very important. Okay? But don't cease praying, and we'll be praying with you. Jane from Tennessee. "I would like to know if we will still be on the earth during the Great Tribulation. I know a Sunday school teacher that has taught Sunday school for 46 years, and she says she can take the Bible and prove that we'll be raptured out before it starts, but she never has. Please document this to me." I think we did a pretty good job of it today, okay? We documented it right by Scripture. That's great. Mary Jane, I hope we answered that question. That poor old Sunday school teacher she's going to keep trying in traditions, isn't she? Well, bless her heart, she cares, doesn't she? You know, why people will not let God's Word do the talking instead of teaching church doctrine, I don't know. Christianity is not a religion, it's a reality, okay? Justin from Canada. "In Revelation, it mentions the abyss. What is this?" Well, the word in the Greek is abyss, but in English it's always translated bottomless. And what it means, it's depthless. Man, there's no bottom to Satan's sin, his low degradation in a moral sense that he will take you to if you allow him, if you listen to him. All right? But that's where he's going to be helped too, in that same moral state, because he's already sentenced to die. Susan from California. "I would like to know if baptism for the dead is necessary. Could you please guide me to any scripture that pertains to this? My mom and I are arguing about this." I don't want to mention the name of some church or anything, okay? Where people get off, it doesn't, you know, once you die, the line behind your life is sealed until the first day of the millennium, okay? You can't change it. It's too late then. So it doesn't mean, surely, to be baptized for the dead would be foolish. But I want to tell you where people get this from. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 28 or 9, whichever, somewhere right along in there, whereby Paul, from verse 1 in that 15th chapter, has been bringing it up over and over. "Do you believe Jesus rose from the dead?" And then the question comes up in that 28th verse, "Why would you be baptized in the name of a man that never rose from the dead? What good would it do?" It wouldn't. So he's talking about Jesus having had the power to defeat death, okay? Doesn't have any, that's not even the subject in the manuscripts, is somebody baptizing themselves for some dead person. It's meaning you wouldn't baptize yourself in a dead person's name. Like if men, which of course goes back to the subject, Christ did rise from the tomb, and we can be baptized in his name, and makes it a fit baptism. Jesus from California. "Is Satan going to be born from a womb, or is he going to fall from heaven?" Well, we answered that today, didn't we? I think it says in Revelation that Satan will fall from heaven along with his fallen angels. Am I right? You were peeking at today's message, weren't you? Robert from Pennsylvania. Is there any way I can trace the bloodline of Jesus in the Bible, or is there a reference book that I can use to trace him from the time he was born up until this present day as far as his family is concerned? Well, as much as you need to, his whole genealogy is listed not in Matthew chapter 1, because that was Joseph, who had nothing to do with Christ's birth. But Mary's genealogy is listed in Luke chapter 3, and it goes from the beginning right up to the time that he walked the earth. His perfect generation. Now, but don't you know, that's what the Bible is about. It's about one man's family that God created, that Christ would be born through, and it brings that family forward, and the only time anyone else is mentioned is when they come in contact with that family up to the birth of Christ. Okay? That's what the Bible is, and that's what makes it so easy to understand. And our Father, of course, we're all His children, and He brings us. Why was that one so important? Because He was the Savior. When God would say, "Let us make man in our image," He Himself came that image. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father, and our salvation. Okay, with His stripes we are healed. Pearl from Nevada. In biblical numerics, what does the number 17 mean? Thanks for the newsletter. You are welcome. Victory. 17 means victory. Lucille from North Carolina, how do you get understanding when you read the Bible and don't understand? I know you pray, but what else can you do? Well, ponder it and meditate on it, along with the prayer, and keep studying. The Word is complete. It's man that must work until it flows, and you must always consider two witnesses. One scripture alone, you need to get a backup, and then translate in both, and then you can be pretty sure of yourself. Before I teach something, I know I'm held responsible for what I teach. And I go to great depths, the Masora, the manuscripts, and document that information is true, because I know that judgment begins at the pulpit. God's judgment begins with the teachers. Okay? That's where it begins. And He's going to judge them more severe than anyone else, especially if they have deliberately misled people. It's a pretty heavy course, but at the same time, be sure of yourself. Study that Word, meditate on it, and pray about it, and you will always find a second witness in the Word itself. God will never give you something that isn't written in the Word. I can guarantee that being from the Father. If He gives you something that isn't in the Word, you better be real careful, because it probably did not come from the Father. Okay? I will say no more than that. Ivan from North Dakota, could you explain what covet means and what the sixth and seventh trumps are? Covet, probably the simplest definition of covet would be desire, to desire something that isn't necessarily yours, okay? And not necessarily a desire in a positive way. Now, that doesn't mean that, you know, Christians always have this guilty trip, you know. Let's say that if you're a man and there's a beautiful woman, it isn't a desire to say, "Isn't she beautiful?" That's not desire, okay? That's simply admiring God's created beauty. The desire, to desire, is to partake of, all right? Let's put it that way. That would be coveting your neighbor's whatever. I think I'll stop there. Got it? Desire. Sharon from California. About the end times mark in hand and forehead, my question is it wrong to buy our own shares in the stock market, or are we contributing to Satan's plan? No, there's nothing, you know. there's nothing, there's no sin in merchandising. As long as it is honest and above board, but certainly don't always know what you're doing, because you can get a real education quick in the stock market if you don't know what you're doing. And sometimes even when we know what we're doing, we get a real education. So, but there's no, as far as a spiritual sin, there is none in barter. Jesus himself would even use, when he talked about his stewards and his talents, he even mentioned, I'd rather you would have taken it down and invested it at the bank so I could have at least had interest off of it. Okay? Chris from Georgia, it has to do with planting seeds if God gives you truth. Chris from Georgia, I have been reading the Biblical Numerics book, and it seems to lean toward pre-trib teachings. But you teach more along the lines of post-trib teachings. So should we disregard the portions of this book that deal with pre-trib? But, you know, I consider myself to be a gifted teacher, right? Because I enjoy teaching, and God certainly helps me a lot, so I have to assume that he's given that gift because we are so successful. But I believe my students can study and read anything they want to, and they can go to any church they want to. And if I have done my job right to have you listen to God's word, not mine, you're going to know what to listen to and what not to, so I can recommend a man's work and know you're too intelligent to be drugged in by some false teaching that he might have in with some good work. I really believe that. So I'm out of time. I love you all a bunch. We'll, in 1 week from today, we'll get back into First Chronicles with Dennis. Next week, documentary. Love you a bunch. You stay in his word. You know what? Every day in God's word is a good day. Even when you've got trouble. Do you know why? Because Jesus, Yeshua, he is the living word.
Hearing God's word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravett, Arkansas, 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.
This has been a long time I've been promising a children's book. This is a book